Subject this morning, difficult subject in some ways, but we're going to see what we can do with the kingdom of God this morning. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to just read from verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. Now, we looked at that little phrase, good news, last week. And we are seeing Jesus' first sermon, the synopsis of his first sermon. And it's this: the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, help us to understand this. Thank you that your Spirit, who superintended the work of your word, which we have before us, is your same Spirit who's here right now, helping us to understand. Help us to be attentive and to hear what you have to say to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd actually be really interested to hear from you what exactly you understand by that phrase, the kingdom of God. I know I grew up with a certain view of it, and I went to seminary and I studied it, and it actually took me quite a long time to get to some sort of understanding what I think the word meant, the phrase meant. I always assumed it referred to a geographic area over which God reigned. I mean, doesn't the Queen of England reign and rule over a geographic area? And doesn't the Prince of Monaco reign and rule in a defined geographic area? But it turns out that in the first instance, there's another way of understanding it, but that in the first instance, that isn't what the phrase kingdom of God means. It doesn't in the first instance mean a geographic area. It turns out that the kingdom of God refers to God's sphere of influence rather than to a geographic region, a sphere of influence. Wherever the king is, he's influencing, and that is the kingdom of God, where the king is influencing. And so wherever the king is, Jesus in this instance, his influence is felt. So in the first instance, the kingdom of God refers to the sphere of influence. Wherever Jesus' influence is felt, that is the kingdom of God. However, from the book of Genesis onwards, there was also a great sense of expectancy. And the expectancy was that the day would come when the kingdom of God would in fact be more than a sphere of influence. The expectancy was that the kingdom of God would also become a geographic area. The expectancy was that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world would be one and the same thing. In other words, that the day would come when God's influence was felt everywhere throughout the world, a day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. There was an expectancy of a day would come when that would happen. And as John in the book of Revelation puts it, that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and that he will reign forever and ever. So in the first instance, the kingdom of God is a sphere of influence. Where the king is, he influences. But the expectation was that that would coincide with this geographic area in which we live. We are not there yet. The kingdom of God is not yet synonymous with a geographic area, but we look forward to that day. And until that day, we accept that the kingdom of God refers to the area where the king, Jesus in this instance, exerts his influence. And so we believe that history is not a series of chance, of accidental events leading us to who knows where. We do not believe that history is just an endless repetition of meaningless cycles. We believe that the biblical view of history is that history has its purpose, that history is moving towards a meaningful goal, and even though we might not always see it, although what happens might not always make sense to us, the biblical view of history is that God is, in fact, active in history, shepherding events towards his appointed end. And his appointed end for history is the establishment of the kingdom of God. The time when God's influence is in fact felt worldwide. The time when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the goal of history. The establishment of the kingdom of God, where God's influence is experienced over the whole geographic region of the world. And as we read Mark's gospel, we have a reminder that God's purposes are still on track. Mark starts with a synopsis of Jesus' first sermon. Here is a synopsis. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Now, I want you to remember that this is Jesus' first public appearance. This is his first sermon. And this is what he proclaimed. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Now, that's such a simple statement. But what does it mean? I'm going to divide the statement into two halves. And we're going to look at the first half of that statement, referring to Jesus' own arrival. The fact that he was now here ministering, referring to that fact, Jesus said, the time has come. The time has come. I'm now here. The time has come. Now, when we use the word time, when you see the word time translated in the New Testament, it can either be chronos, we get a chronology, a chronometer, time, but we also have the word kairos. Now, you might have heard of the word kairos. Kairos, not all moments in time have the same value. You know, when your child is born, it might just be another minute in time, but it's not just another minute in time. It's a kairos minute. It's a special, significant moment. And what Jesus is saying, that with my arrival on the scene, the time, the kairos moment has come. The significant moment in time has come. And why is Jesus' arrival a significant moment? Why is it a kairos moment? Because with his arrival on the scene, the kingdom of God has come near. It was a significant moment. When Jesus arrived, it was a kairos moment. The kingdom of God has come near. Now, again, that little phrase, has come near, is worth looking at. We need to understand it because, in fact, come near can be understood in two different ways. We've got to understand it firstly in a temporal way. In a temporal way, in a time way. You know, we say, and especially in these days, as we hurry towards the second end of the year, we might say, well, Christmas is near. You know, that means that Christmas is right here. It's just around the corner. Temporal refers to a time period. And so when Jesus says the kingdom of God has come near, he means it could be just around the corner. It is near. It can happen at any time. It's right here. It's coming soon. That's one meaning of the word near. But there's another way of understanding the word near. We can also understand it in a spatial sense. You know, there's a babysitter looking after a little girl, and the little girl says to the babysitter, where's mommy? And the babysitter's just been on the phone to mommy and knows that she's kind of just turning into the driveway, and she says to the little girl, don't worry, mommy's near. Spatially near. Mommy's right here. She's nearby. We'll see her soon. That's also how the word can be understood. It's an idea of being close by in a spatial sense. Jesus arrives and he starts preaching and he says, the kingdom of God has come near. And Jesus means near in both a spatial sense and in a temporal sense. The kingdom of God, God's rule, God's authority, the kingdom of God has come near. It can break through and be seen very soon in a temporal sense. That it's going to come, we're going to see, it's going to all happen, it's going to be here soon. But the kingdom of God has come near also in the sense of it is in fact right here. Right here, right next to us in a spatial sense. No, we cannot see it, but it is near in a spatial sense. We've got to understand that word near in both, with both of those understandings. When Jesus arrived and started preaching, Jesus inaugurated what we call the last days. And the last days is a period of time that will end with the establishing on the kingdom of God. The last days is going to end when Jesus, in fact, establishes his reign, his influence over the geographic area of the world. The time when the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. That the period of the last days will end when that happens. It will end when the geographic area of the world and the area of God's influence will be one and the same thing. The kingdom of God has come near, says Jesus. It can happen at any time. It can happen soon. And that, to me, and this is where we start to get to the practical implications of this, that the fact that it can happen soon, it can happen at any time, that is a powerful incentive to live each day in a God-pleasing way, because he could come today. And when he comes, if it were today, I want him to find me doing stuff which pleases him. I want him to find me doing stuff of which I'm not embarrassed. I want him to come and see and say to me, well done for doing that. Jesus can come any moment. A powerful incentive to live each day as though it could be today. In fact, my principal at seminary had a plaque on his desk, as I've told you before, and it said this, perhaps today. Because he wanted to be reminded that Jesus could in fact come at any time. Jesus preached, the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus could come any day, a powerful incentive for godly living. Jesus arrived preaching, the kingdom of God has come near. And the spatial implications of that statement also have powerful practical implications. You see, then as now, when the Jewish people looked around, they couldn't see the kingdom of God. When they looked around, they saw that they were ruled by the Romans. Jesus, they didn't see him as king. They saw Caesar as king. So how on earth could Jesus say the kingdom of God has come near in a spatial sense? Everywhere they looked, they saw symbols of Roman authority. They saw soldiers. They saw the Roman standard. They paid tax to Rome. A Roman soldier walking along the road, if he saw a Jewish man, could compel that Jewish man to carry his bag for 1 mile. They called it the 1 mile rule. Where is the evidence that the kingdom of God was near in any spatial sense? And yet Jesus preached, the kingdom of God has come near. It was in that very context, in the midst of all the symbols of Roman authority, where there was little evidence of the kingdom of God, that Jesus once healed a demon-possessed man. And having driven out the demons, this is what Jesus says. He says, if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. By driving out the demons, Jesus shows, Rome might be ruling, but look, here's the kingdom of God, near spatially, driving out the demons. Authority over the demons. The kingdom of God is right here. The authority, the influence is right here. You just can't see it. If by the Spirit of God I drive out demons, the kingdom of God has come near. Authority to drive out demons is visible evidence of the spatial nearness of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus did many things which in the context of Caesar being king brought visible, made visible the invisible kingdom of God. He did many things which showed, in fact, that Jesus was king and that Jesus was nearby in a spatial sense. When blind people received their sight, that was the kingdom of God breaking through, evidence that the kingdom was near. When the crippled people walked, the kingdom of God was breaking through, evidence that the kingdom of God was near. When Jesus healed the sick, that's the kingdom breaking through, evidence that the kingdom of God is near. When Jesus befriended prostitutes, something unheard of in that world order, that was evidence of the reality and nearness of the kingdom of God. When Jesus stood in the boat with the wind and the waves and the sea all around him, and he lifted up his hands and he says, "Peace, be still," and everything became calm, that was evidence of the nearness, the spatial nearness of the kingdom of God. We got a glimpse of it as it broke through and brought calm. There was Simon, the zealot. He hated the Romans. The zealots, they wanted to get rid of the Roman authorities by killing them one at a time. And there was Matthew, the tax collector, the ultimate sellout. And Jesus has Simon the zealot and Matthew the sellout working together as brothers. That's an evidence of the kingdom of God breaking through into that world order. That is what it looks like when the kingdom of God breaks through. Jesus invites women into his company, and women become partners in the gospel, unheard of in those days. Evidence of the kingdom of God breaking through. The time has come, says Jesus. The kingdom of God has come near. Yes, the kingdom of God is near in a temporal sense. It is going to come soon. But the kingdom of God is also here, spatially, and in fact does break through into our dimension from time to time. And this is a powerful incentive for us to embrace our day-to-day challenges, because Jesus is right here enabling us. There's nothing that with which we are confronted that, because he's spatially near, will not empower us to do as his people. I've preached before on the Lord's Prayer, so I've said this before. When we pray as Jesus instructed us to pray, "Let your kingdom come on earth," we are in fact asking him to do two things. Firstly, we are asking him, "Lord, hurry the day that your kingdom is finally established. Hurry the day when our faith will be sight. Hurry that day. Let it come soon when you come and you establish your kingdom over the whole earth. Lord, let your kingdom come. Hurry that day," is what we are praying. But praying, "Let your kingdom come on earth," means that we are also asking this: "Lord, allow us to see that your kingdom is near spatially. Lord, we want to see it. We want to see the reality of your kingdom breaking through. We want to see it and experience and feel it. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, break through into our reality. We want to see and feel and experience your kingdom." Of course, this raises the question, doesn't it? If the kingdom of God is right here spatially, why can we not always see it? How come we can only see it at certain times? And if it is here spatially, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Well, here's a true story. The king of Aram was at war with the king of Israel. Trouble was, the king of Aram was on a hiding to nothing, because the prophet Elisha kept the king of Israel informed of all the king of Aram's movements, and so they could always be anticipated. And the king of Aram gets to hear that this is what's happening. So he sends out his soldiers to look for the prophet Elisha and finds him at Dothan. And it happens that they are in Dothan, Elisha and his servant, and the king of Aram lets all his horsemen surround the city of Dothan. He sends his horses and chariots and a strong force. They went by night and they surround the city. So there they are. Elisha, his servant, in Dothan, surrounding the city are the soldiers and the armies of the king of Aram. When the servant of Elisha got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? I mean, can you imagine the classic double take? The night before, the servant had gone to bed, and it was just pasture land around. The next morning, he wakes up, and there's just armies all around. That's all he can see. But Elisha has a word for his servant. He says to him, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I can imagine the servant looking at the armies of Aram and looking at Elisha, wondering if Elisha has lost the plot. I mean, all he can see are hostile armies. What does Elisha mean? Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And so Elisha prays again. He prays, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Open the servant's eyes, Lord. That's what Elisha prayed. What does he mean? I mean, the servant wasn't blind. His eyes were really good. He could see the armies of the king of Aram. And yet Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord. That was a prayer for the Lord to open the servant's eyes so that the servant could see what was real in the spiritual realm. There's a dimension around us that we cannot see. In fact, there could be many dimensions around us. I mean, imagine all the cell phone signals that are rushing through this place right now, and all we've got to do is put on our phones and we'll know that they're real. We can't see them, but they're real. There's a spiritual realm as well. And when Elisha prayed, open my servant's eyes, he said, let him see the spiritual realm and how real it is. And when he could see the spiritual realm, what was real in the spiritual realm, he could see that the armies of the Lord were near. He could see in the spiritual realm that spatially the armies of the Lord were there. And so to answer the question, if the kingdom of God is right here, spatially speaking, then where is it? Why can't we see it? Answer, it is right here, spatially speaking, but invisible to us. It is in the spiritual realm. It is right here. We just cannot see it. But here's the important thing, we can know. We can know that it is here. Jesus started his ministry with his first sermon. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. It is near in a temporal sense. So in any moment, the kingdom of this world can become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Messiah. He will reign forever and ever. And Jesus instructed us to pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is heaven. And Jesus started his ministry and his first sermon. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. It is also near in a spatial sense. We just cannot see it. But every time we get to see something happen that can only be explained supernaturally, we get to see the kingdom of God breaking through into this physical realm. We do see people healed. We do experience God's provision in unexpected ways. We do see that people are willing to forgive each other for things which were done, which were horrible. We see people forgive each other. People giving up hard-earned money for the sake of the kingdom. Friends, none of these has a rational explanation. Why would you do that? But they can be explained supernaturally. Each is evidence of God's invisible yet spatially near at hand kingdom breaking through into the physical realm. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The gospel. Here is the good news. Jesus has come. The kingdom is near. The last days have been inaugurated. Jesus can come at any moment. What an amazing incentive to live each day in the light of Jesus possibly coming today. For us to be living holy lives because He might come today. The gospel, the good news, Jesus has come. The kingdom of God is near, near but hidden. Maybe veiled would be a better word because Jesus is really present. He's simply veiled from our sight. The King is present where we are, but veiled from our sight. King Jesus is really present in power, in glory, in honor, in splendor, in our homes, in our offices, in hospital rooms, on the sports field. Present. Jesus is present, but veiled. From time to time, He chooses to pull back the veil, and we see the kingdom breakthrough. Jesus is here in all His power, just veiled. What amazing privilege we have to face each challenge, knowing that Jesus is right here. The kingdom of God is near. Shall we pray and think through some of those implications? Just ask yourself whether it would make a difference if you were facing the challenges of life with Jesus physically by your side. Would it make a difference to the way you approach problems, approach people, approach life? Jesus is near. Let's train ourselves to see the reality of Jesus in those terms. He's near. He's just veiled. And let's live our lives from that perspective, knowing also that He's coming soon, perhaps today. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.